Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say once again thank you for taking time out of your busy life to join me this morning on my radio broadcast. Today is Thursday, August 12th, 2021. I have a question for us this morning before I get started on my teaching. What is the passion? Let's say it this way, or let's ask it this way. What is the driving passion of your life? What is the one thing that every morning you wake up and say, I can't wait to do this again today? Well, the answer to that question is really important in the context of our study today. I started last week on a study of the Ten Commandments. I gave a background to why in our lawless culture, where there is so much lawlessness, violence, relativism, discontent, with the way society is really all across the globe, we need a standard and a foundation to live peacefully, to live in harmony with each other. And the only remedy that I see for this culture, for this world, for this chaos, is the Ten Commandments, God's law. Now, what I mean by that is that we have different cultures all over the world that have different belief systems. And so how can we agree on what is most important? Well, the commandments are not just written on stone. We saw that in the movie, you know, years ago with Charlton Heston playing Moses receiving the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. They're not just written in stone as an absolute, but they're imprinted in our hearts. Even though we are fallen, broken, sinful human beings, we have a sense within us, as dim as it is, what is right and what is wrong. And when we come to Christ, these commandments become the reality of our lifestyle. Now, in no way am I suggesting that we earn salvation through obedience. In fact, if anything, the law of God drives us to our knees. It helps us to see how helpless we are and that we need a Savior, because keeping these commandments are just so difficult. God gave the law as instruction, as a path for us to follow as Christians. And as I asked you this question, I hope you've had some time to think about it. What is your driving passion in your life? What motivates you? Well, today on our study of the Ten Commandments, we're going to go to commandment number one, where God says, you shall have no other gods before me. What does that mean? Again, context. I am the Lord, Yahweh says, the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. The Hebrew children had been under enslavement in Egypt for many, many years. They were forced to be slaves, to make bricks, to do whatever the Pharaoh said to do. And God heard their cries and raised up Moses to deliver them from bondage in Egypt. And we all know the story. As the Egyptians were pursuing the Hebrews, God parted the Red Sea and they walked across on dry land. He closed the sea and drowned the Egyptians. This is so much the Christian life. When we come out of darkness and into light, when we begin our walk with Jesus, there are absolutes we obey. There are principles we live by. And God is saying, I have rescued you out of this bondage. You have lived in a culture of polytheism for so long where they worshiped every god of the Nile, every god of insect. They had multiple gods. The Egyptians worshiped many false gods. And God says, since I have closed the door on that lifestyle, I've pulled you out of the slavery of Egypt, you shall have no other gods before me. You see, this is God's prohibition against idolatry. And let's put it to you this way. If you know the true and living God, if you've drank of the living water, if you've come to Christ, your heart is driven. You are satisfied. You have found fulfillment. You really don't want anything or anyone but Jesus, but God alone. And that is the driving passion of our hearts. But God knows something else about our hearts. He knows they are sinful. He knows they are carefree at times. He knows that the things of this world have that attraction, that driving force that comes against what God says and says, come this direction. Go this way. You'll find some real peace here. Oh, you know, God won't mind. It's okay to play around. But God knows our heart is an idol factory. He says that no idol made of wood or stone is the true God. Idols are deaf, dumb, blind, and powerless. But they have a deceitful attraction to us. Now, you may say, well, I don't worship any gods and idols of stone and wood. Well, maybe not that way, but let's put it to you another way. Is the driving passion and force of your life your job, your career, your image of yourself? Have you unconsciously created a God in your own image? Well, you see, that's what God is getting at. He is giving us this command to actually help us to not be tempted to go the direction of idolatry. And this is something that Jesus talked about when he said, no one can serve two masters. Matthew chapter 6, 24. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, that doesn't always mean the money in your pocket. It's the personification of wealth or money, greed, the love of materialism. So is your life being pulled in the direction of this world only, or materialism? Jesus said, you can't serve me and the greed and the idolatry of your life, because kingdom living is not about materialism. Kingdom living is about serving the one true and living God. Our treasure is not in our possessions. Our treasure is in Christ. And we have examples in the Bible where God's people, God's children, fell into this trap. One of them is Samson in Judges chapter 14 through 16. He was set apart for God as a Nazarite. but he ended up worshiping another god that was much closer than the rich man was to his wealth. Samson's god was himself. His pride, his self-worship led to his downfall. He was so confident in his own strength and abilities that there came a time he believed he no longer needed God. And in the end, despite being beaten, you know the story, blinded, humiliated, Samson neither repented nor learned that his way was not God's way. He became his own idol. We can become our own idol. And our own idol will fail us. The God that we're chasing other than the true God will always lead to emptiness and despair. We may think for a season that I am really happy with my materialism, with my career, with myself. I'm content within me. We're pursuing our own dreams and our own ambitions. We've put ourselves on the throne. But there will come a time in brokenness and despair where there'll be such an emptiness. And God in his grace will open our eyes to see that you're looking for satisfaction and truth in everything and everyone else except me. So that's why the first commandment is central to all the rest. The first one deals with our relationship with God. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. He's talking about idol worship, the temptation to worship ourselves in various ways. And you see all around us in our culture, the music, the wealth, the different pathways that are out there that are so tempting. But the Bible says whatsoever we do, we should do for the glory of God, that we should serve God alone because in him we find our peace, our satisfaction, our joy, our fulfillment, our forgiveness. Idol worship can be your cell phone. Oh, my. And now the conviction begins because I spend a lot of time on the cell phone and social media. And I can say it's for ministry, and that's true. It really is. But there's that temptation where that cell phone becomes more important than the Bible, the true and living word. The attraction we get on social media is a big, big idol. Alcohol, drugs can become a substitute, can become an idol. But the warning from Scripture is we need to place our trust in the Lord, who will keep us from all harm. He knows these idols will destroy us. And we need to remember that he is our satisfaction, that he is our peace. The things of this world will never fully satisfy the human heart. They were never meant to be. The sinful things of this world deceive us, and ultimately they lead to death. They're only good gifts from God. And they can be enjoyed with our thankful heart. But the gift God gives us never replaces the giver. We have to be careful here. I have to be careful here too. There is a temptation to fall into this trap of idolatry. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes written by Solomon, he conveys a message in that book, a very profound, powerful message, that apart from a right relationship with God, everything is futile. Life is meaningless. We were created in God's image with the sole reason to worship and to glorify him. He has placed eternity in our heart. And a relationship with Jesus is the only way to fulfill this longing for eternal life. And Jesus puts it very distinctly, very straightforward. He says all of our idolatrous pursuits will leave us empty, unsatisfied, and ultimately on the broad road that most people take that leads to destruction. Jesus talked about the narrow way and the broad way in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. He says, strive to enter the narrow way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. The narrow way is not the easy way. There are the temptations all around us. When you read the book Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan, you will understand this much more fully. But the broad way looks like the right way. It looks like a way that's painted with good intentions. Your friends are there. Your worldly pursuits are there. The latest social media fads are on the broad way. This looks like a lot of fun, Jesus. The problem is the broad way is a path of destruction. It leads to an eternal hell apart from Christ. And so that's where idolatry leads to. It is very sad. You read the book of Romans. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1 that he talks about the worship of things in creation, not just their imagery, is wrong in the eyes of God. You know, they think they were wise in their own eyes, and they began to turn away from the true and living God and began to worship things that were created. God warned the people of Israel, don't, when you look up at the stars in the sky, do not worship them. Created things are not meant to be worshipped. Now, you can look at the beauty of nature, and it is beautiful, the flowers, the design, the many patterns of just goodness that we see in nature. But be careful that you don't begin to worship that which is the work of your hands, or worship that which you see with your eyes. And why this commandment is so important is because when we try to substitute anything for the living God, it ends up deceiving us. It ends up leaving us empty and unfulfilled. And so you might be asking, well, how do I know that I'm not guilty of this? How do I know I'm not being deceived by this? Well, it's very simple. You spend some time, maybe that's your quiet time alone with God, and you just begin to pour out your heart to him. And you'll find out very soon where your heart is at. Do you have a passion for prayer, for Bible reading, for worship? Do you have a passion in your life for reaching out to people and telling them about Christ? Where is your passion? What is the driving force within your heart? Now, that doesn't mean that your job is sinful, your career is sinful, your talent is sinful, not at all. But if those things become the primary motivation in your life, if you are eating, drinking, and breathing that alone, then somewhere along the line, you have drifted apart from God. And here's the beauty of this scripture. God talks over and over again in scripture. He likens himself to living water. He invites us to drink of the living water. Jesus talked about the gift of eternal life to the woman at the well as living water. And so if you are longing each day to be satisfied by drinking that living water, if that is the hunger and the thirst of your soul, to come before God in his presence and to worship him, to be drawn to him, to come to him, if that is the driving force of your soul, then you're in a good position because your heart and mind is in the right direction. Now, here's the problem with this. If we're honest, we are sinful human beings. And the Bible says all have sinned. All, it's all of us, and have fallen short of the glory of God, every one of us, in thought, in word, and in deed, every day, we fall short of the glory of God, and every day, we need his grace, we need his forgiveness. So we are fallen, we are sinful yet, We never live up to that standard, but that's okay. God wants us to come to him, wants us to reach out to him, to receive his love and his forgiveness. So today, my passion has been to communicate to you the importance of clearing your life of all idols, of all things that are the driving force of your soul, that are leading you away from a knowledge, from a living relationship with the one true and living God. And today, ask God to take inventory of your heart and to destroy and to smash those idols in your life. And when you have that happen, you will see a difference in the passions of your heart. I hope this has helped you. Let's not just take a few minutes to worship this Almighty God who loves us and has called us to himself. This is Wayne Watson and Almighty. powerful, powerful worship music from a great Christian artist, Wayne Watson, Almighty. I want to end today with just trying to make a point in context of what I'm teaching. When you think of the Ten Commandments, you think of something that restricts your freedom. One more, don't do this, don't do that. But if you look at it that way, you're looking at it really from incorrect perspective, because I like to think of the Ten Commandments as the law of perfect freedom. These are not laws to bind us, but to free us from who God really is, to the image we may have of God, a distorted image, to having a correct image, to ridding ourselves of the things in our life that are bringing us to ruin, to putting into our life the things that bring us happiness and goodness. And that is why we're talking about the Ten Commandments. It is the law of perfect freedom, because the things of this world are not eternal. They're passing. And we as Christians look forward to that heaven that one day we will live in, with all the saints before us, our family, our friends that know the Lord. And so our heart is heavenward. The things of this world are temporary. There's nothing in this world that is worth the gold and the treasure that we find in Jesus. Don't let your heart be bogged down with anything. He is the one true foundation. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And today we've looked at the first commandment, no other gods. All of those false idols in your life will only lead to eternal ruin, to despair, and eventual unhappiness. But when you live for the Lord, that first commandment gives you freedom, because he is the treasure in your life and nothing else will satisfy you. And when you have that firmly entrenched in your heart, life is beautiful in every aspect. I hope that this has been helpful to you today. Always leave your comments on my show program page. I hope that you have a great weekend. Stay safe. And then again on Monday, we'll be going back to Iran and looking at the situation there. God bless you. Have a great weekend. I will see you on the next Crossing the Desert.